Center will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 15th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns? Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel? Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Bonflatern?
Here.
President Anderson?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Esquibel, 30 present.
Prayer by Richard Brown.
As we begin today, I'd like to give you this inspirational thought. It has to do with reputation and integrity. Your reputation and integrity are everything. Follow through on what you say you're going to do. Your credibility can only be built over time and is built from the history of your words and your actions. Respond to people in a timely manner. It shows respect and responsibility. Be nice and treat all individuals with respect, no matter what place or position that they hold. Approach situations with an open mind. Have no expectations, but rather abundant expectancy. Listen to your gut. If something internally feels right or feels wrong to you, it probably is. So listen to your inner voice. Ask questions of yourself and be true to yourself. Know who you are and what you want, and let this mantra guide you through your life. Have empathy for others, to have compassion in human and humbling. It's important to give back to community in which you live and work. Attitude is everything. Be positive, optimistic, engaging, spirited, and you'll reap the rewards tenfold. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are so grateful for this beautiful day and for this opportunity we have to meet this day and to take care of the items of business before this great body. We are grateful for this beautiful state, for its resources that provide so many benefits to us. We ask for thy spirit to be here with this body as they meet today, that they will be able to accomplish and do those things that are before them in a manner pleasing to thee and to the citizens of this great state. We are grateful that we have all who are in attendance today, who have been blessed with great health and strength, and bless them as they provide service to this state, that they will be blessed for their efforts and for their sacrifices which they make in our behalf. We are so grateful for them and for their families and for the sacrifices that their families also make during this time. Father, we are grateful and especially would like to express our gratitude for those who give of their time and talents to serve the members of this body, who give so generously to helping this process take place and come about. We ask now that thy spirit be with us throughout this day and all the things that we say and do, and we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports at the Journal of February the 14th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Amy Trelease Bell, MD, and thank you, doctor. Dr. Trelease Bell is from Cheyenne. Our nurse for the day is Heidi Laux, and with her is Diane O'Dell, a student nurse, and they're both from Casper College, and probably on the House side with Representative Laux. On this day in Wyoming history, in 1869, the first Laramie School opened. And on this day in U.S. history, in 1842, the adhesive postage stamps were used for the first time by the city dispatch office in New York City. Messages from the House.
February the 14th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message number 318, conferees appointed committee number one. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number one from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 15. The House conferees are Representative Gingery, Chairman, Representatives Kraft and Bob Nicholas, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Bebout, did you have something for us?
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Hey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, today we have in front of us and behind the President up here some members of the FFA. We have three from Cody, two from Powell. Unfortunately, I don't have their names, but from Lander, we have Joshua and Noah. From Riverton, Amber and Emma. From Shoshone, all right, Michelle and Tyler. And from Wind River, Ellie and Dalen. Would you please welcome them to the Senate?
Welcome, FFA members, and we hope that you enjoy your day. Concurrences? Senator Ross, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, are you ready on message number 310?
I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read that message?
February the 14th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 310, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 68, Summary Probate Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Ross, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 310, concurrence request for Senate File 68, Summary Probate Amendments. Members of the Senate, the House piddled on this bill a little bit, but it really is of minor impact. On page 3 and line 1, after the word of, they inserted personal or. So if a person dies who is owner of personal or real property and the value still stays the same at $200,000, these summary probate amendments would be available to those who have personal property less than $200,000 or real property. It's kind of an innocuous amendment. I would urge your favorable consideration.
Senator Burns, I'm sorry. Is there any discussion in regard to the concurrence? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 68, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Slatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 68. Senator Geis, are you ready on in regard to message 313?
Yes, I am.
Reading clerk will please read that message.
February the 14th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 313, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 77, County Officers' Removal from Office. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 4, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, when I move message 313, being the original Senate file 77, County officers removal from office. And you go down on page 2, line 3, after officers, insert not subject to removal under Wyoming Statute 18.3, 523. And then you go on down to page 2, line 18 through 19, delete that, and what they're deleting there is officer failed to vote full-time to the duties of his office. And when you get to some of these smaller counties, like their county attorneys, they're not full-time officers. So we just deleted that so that if they're part-time officers and they have trouble with them to do their work, they can remove them. And then on page 3, line 2, delete little 3i and insert little 2i. And that's about all they've changed in this bill. And I'd move that you do adopt this conference committee on message 313.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 77. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 77. Senator Martin, are you ready on message 311?
I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read that amendment or that message in at this time?
February 14, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 311, concurrence requested. Mr. President. Senate File 24, State Investments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated.
Senator Martin.
Just a minute, sir.
I'm sorry.
Ayes 40, noes 19, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Now, Senator Martin, would you like to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move concurrence on message 311 to Senate File 24, State Investments, and urge you to vote aye. Mr. President, the House included two amendments to the bill on Senate File 24, the first being on page 1, line 2, where they added, after bonds, insert providing for legislative approval of certain investments as specified, page 1, line 9, after and, insert by creating a new paragraph 7, and then page 2, after line 18, the new insertion of the new paragraph 7 that reads, no investment in excess of $100 million shall be made under this subsection in bonds for any one project without specific legislative authorization. Mr. President, that would add another level of oversight on projects over $100 million. And then the second amendment is on page 1, line 3, after investments, insert specifying other requirements for the investments. Page 2, line 18, after 2017, you would insert any investments under this subsection shall be subject to the prudent investor standard as specified in subsection D of this section. Mr. President, the addition of this simply instructs the Treasurer's Office that they will be required to use the prudent investor standard when dealing with these investments, and I would ask for your aye vote on these two changes.
Any questions? Senator Perkins?
My recollection from our discussion on this, our review, was that that this was already subject to the prudent investor rule anyway, and so that now it's expressed in here, but I think it was already in there, and I just, isn't that just a bad recollection on my part?
Mr. President, the good legislator from Johnson County, a good senator, had indicated that they were not under the prudent investor standard, and this would put them under that.
Other discussion or questions? Motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 24. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, will please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 24. Signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act number 15. The reading clerk will read the act.
Senate Enrolled Act number 15 being original Senate File 20.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 15, original Senate File 20. so sign. Senate Enrolled Act 16. Reading clerk will read the...
Senate Enrolled Act 16, being original Senate File 27.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 16, original Senate File 27. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 17.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 17, being original Senate File 17.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 17, original Senate File 17. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 18.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 18, being original Senate File 18.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 18, original Senate File 18. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 19.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 19, being original Senate File 21.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act, Senate Enrolled Act 19, original Senate File 21. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act 20.
Senate Enrolled Act 20, being original Senate File 42.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 20, original Senate File 42. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act 21.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 21, being original Senate File 67.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 21, original Senate File 67. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 22.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 22, being original Senate File 26.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 22, original Senate File 26. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 23.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 23, being original Senate File 43.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 23, original Senate File Number 43. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 24.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 24, being original Senate File 120.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 24, original Senate File 120. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act, Senate Joint Resolution Number 1.
Senate Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, being original Senate Joint Resolution Number 6.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 1, original Senate Joint Resolution number 6. And so signed. House, oh, have some more here. Okay. These are House Enrolled Acts. House Enrolled Act number 11.
House Enrolled Act number 11 being original House Bill 2.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 11, original House Bill number 2. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 12.
House Enrolled Act number 12 being original House Bill 4.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 12, original House Bill number 4. Have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 13.
House Enrolled Act number 13 being original House Bill 76.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 13, original House Bill 76. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 14.
House Enrolled Act number 14 being original House Bill 133.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 14, original House Bill 133. Have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 15.
House Enrolled Act number 15 being original House Bill 177.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 15, original House Bill 177. And so signed. House Enrolled Act number 16.
House Enrolled Act number 16 being original House Bill number 15.
I'm about to sign in House Enrolled Act number 16, original House Bill 15. And so signed. House Enrolled Act 17.
House Enrolled Act number 17 being original House Bill 117.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 17, original House Bill 117. Have so signed. House bills on first reading. House Bill 251, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 251, abortion ultrasound information, an act relating to public health and safety, sponsored by Representative Brechtel. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 34, noes 25, excused 1.
House Bill 251 has been assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Reports from standing committees.
February the 15th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 127, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 15th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 72, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladren. No, Senator Meyer, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 14th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 41 in gross, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, and Nutting. No, Senator Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 14th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 246, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 14th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 248, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Bills on third reading and final passage, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, third reading consent list for today is as follows. House Bill 9, Department of Insurance, Licensure Revisions. House Bill 62, Wyoming Controlled Substances Act Amendments. House Bill 66, Water Development Projects Funding. House Bill 79, Establishment of Private Roads. House Bill 95, Involuntary Commitment Examiners. House Bill 114, Insurance Premiums Failure to Pay. House Bill 123, Circuit Court Surety Bonds Repeal. House Bill 124, National Guard Emergency Deployment Professional Licensing. And House Bill 176, Nuclear Energy as Carbon-Free Renewable Energy.
Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Seeing no one? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 9, House Bill 62, House Bill 66, House Bill 79, House Bill 95, House Bill 114, House Bill 123, House Bill 124, and House Bill 176. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard,
aye.
Bebout,
aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Amrick,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins, Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 9, 30 ayes. House Bill 62, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 62, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 66, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 66, 30 ayes. House Bill 79, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 79, 30 ayes. House Bill 95, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 95, 22 ayes, 8 noes. House Bill 114, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 114, 30 ayes. House Bill 123, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 123, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 124, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 124, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 176, are there any changes? Geis, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Amrick, aye to no. Martin, aye to no. Esquibel, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 176, 14 ayes, 16 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 9, House Bill 62, House Bill 66, House Bill 79, House Bill 95, House Bill 114, House Bill 123, and House Bill 124 have passed the Senate. House Bill 176, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 176 has failed to pass the Senate. Other third reading bills. House Bill 105, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 105, Temporary Military Duty, Child Custody and Visitation, an Act Relating to Child Custody and Visitation, sponsored by Representative Throne, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read in that amendment at this time.
House Bill 105, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 4, line 6.
Senator Hastert, would you like to move and speak to the amendment?
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 105 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, Mr. President, what this does is it just, when I discussed this with the military last night and this morning, there was a concern raised. The first part of it, page 4, line 6, just simply puts service, adding the words service, so it just says service member. And then when the concern was on the temporary duty, that not having a, you know, not less than and but not greater than would be temporary duty then would be inclusive of all types of deployments, you know, including the 1 year. So it's just a cleanup to what the good senator from Laramie County did in a second reading amendment. It just simply puts the upper limit of 180 days so there's clarity in the fact that when you're, you know, deployed overseas, it's not considered temporary. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
All right. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Chairman, and I suggested this when the problem was raised by the good senator from Sweetwater County. I suggested that this would be a possible fix. I think what's important for you to know is that apparently temporary duty is defined by the military as less than 180 days. So that's all we're dealing with. And it doesn't deal with permanent changes of duty or longer stays. So by making this clarification, I think it fits their needs.
Other discussion in regard to the amendment? Seeing none, question before us is third reading amendment number one, House Bill 105. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion in regard to the bill? House Bill 105, having been read three separate times, a question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Hines,
aye. Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing, Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 28 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 105, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 105 has passed the Senate. Bill's on second reading.
Here we go, Cowboys. Here we go.
Senate File 1, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriation, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
There are a couple amendments. First Amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 18. That is the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask Senator Nicholas. Reading clerk, read that amendment, please.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 18. Budgets affected, Section 1, Office of the Governor.
Okay, go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 18 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, on occasion we do put in funding to improve the chinaware at the governor's residence. And I have but one motto, and that is you can fight with the governor all you want. You're encouraged to fight with the governor all you want, but make the First Lady's job a little easier. I urge your support.
Any discussion in regard to this amendment? Question being called. This does increase funding. Requires a roll call vote. I'd ask the Chief Clerk to call a roll in regard to amendment 18.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe, Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Amrick, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Slatern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
What do you got, Johnson?
Second reading, amendment number 18 of Senate File 1 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is Amendment 24. I'd ask that the reading clerk read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading, amendment number 24, budgets affected, Section 1, Office of the Governor.
With that, Senator Johnson, would you like to move and address the amendment?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 24 to Senate File 1. The Niobrara Shell play impact is a reality. We've already experienced measurable impacts in southeastern Wyoming. Oil is currently being produced from the first wells recently completed in Laramie, Goshen, and Converse counties with rates of production up to 1,000 barrels of oil per day. 8 to 10 of the world's largest players in oil exploration, some that employ up to 50,000 people, have invested in excess of $2 billion just to secure leases. And they will drill these properties with that kind of investment. Counties like Goshen have seen investment in the Niobrara Shale that exceeds the assessed value of the entire county. The state has received over $100 million in lease bonus money in the past 18 months for Niobrara exploration. This budget amendment is a modest attempt to help equip our first responders and our rural fire departments that are not prepared to deal with the impact of exploration. Many of our rural fire departments in the area don't have basic personal protective gear such as bunker gear and helmets that are up to code. Some districts receive less than $10,000 a year in taxes and can barely keep the lights on, let alone fuel in the vehicles. Many of our rural districts don't even own a job life for extraditing people from a car accident. Tax monies will be flowing to these districts, but the delays in our tax structure leave a gap. Our volunteers will not be able to safely respond to emergencies without this impact assistance. Some fire districts have approached the SLIB board and were recently told that they weren't eligible for emergency funding. These poor districts don't have excess revenue to meet any of the matching requirements. The money in this amendment cannot be used for large equipment, and no one county will be eligible for more than $400,000 of the $1 million. The county commissioners will request the funds in the form of a grant on behalf of the fire districts to the governor's office. The fire districts must have measurable impact from exploration and production, and also evidence that they have revenue limitations to be eligible. I stand ready for questions and argument.
Are there any questions? Yes, yeah, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a variety of bills out there, amendments intended to provide preference to some counties over the others. The fire equipment was one of the favorite grants or the favorite items for the mineral royalty grant program that's been funded by the SLIB board. Those monies are out there. A lot of the districts have already, fire districts have already accessed that money. It was available to everyone. You know, the Niobrara play is real. It's out there. We don't know what its real impacts are going to be. Having said that, at some point you have to ask, how much is enough simply because you have some impacts? In the budget, we have $610,000 in the governor's office to assess impacts of the Niobrara oil play. We've got $6 million in a bill that went through for road and road impacts, and there's $6 million in the budget for quiet zones, railroad quiet zones, really for this area of the southeast Wyoming. You know, I submit to you, we have taken care of them in the budget. Enough's enough. I urge you to vote no.
Other discussion in regard to this amendment? Senator Bernard.
Mr. President, when I was a county commissioner, we had a lot of trouble with our fire districts. We had fire equipment that was old and obsolete. Mountain View had only one fire truck, and it didn't even work. So what happened was we formed a rural fire district. It was taxed, and within about 3 or 4 years, every one of these communities had their fire equipment up to snuff. It worked really well. It didn't take money from the state. It took money from the oil producers. That most of the money came from them. And so I'm speaking against this. I think that they should use their own fire districts to do this, and the state shouldn't finance it.
Other discussion in regard to this amendment? This amendment does affect the budget. I'd ask the reading clerk call the roll in regard to second reading amendment number 24, Senate File 1.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer? Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 4 ayes, 26 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 24, Senate File 1 has failed the Senate. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 17. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that amendment at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment 17, budgets affected, 06 administration and information.
Senator Nicholas, would you like to move and address the amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would. I move second reading amendment number 17 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is it addresses the CIO position. We've been struggling about whether that CIO position, this is a new position we created to monitor the expenditures of IT expenses and IT staff throughout the state government. We put it into the A&I to be to serve at the discretion of the director of A&I. The governor's office has now given it some new thought and would like that position moved back to the governor's office. These changes move the position back to the governor's office to serve at the pleasure of the governor's office. I urge your support for the amendment.
Okay. This amendment does not affect the dollar amount of the budget. It's just the verbiage. And so then I would ask for all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 17, Senate File 1, has passed the Senate. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 26. I'd ask a reading clerk to read that in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 26, budget affected, 25, Department of Employment.
Senator Hastert, that is your amendment. Would you move and address the amendment, please?
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 26 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does is just adds $161,430 into the Department of Employment's budget. And what you see here, and the reason for the amendment, is that Section 25, Department of Employment, was not brought into the supplemental budget. So it was necessary to bring them in with the verbiage that you see here, the lines, the language you see on 34 through through 50 or through the rest of the amendment is just existing language. It was just necessary to bring that in because Section 25 was not part of the supplemental budget. Now, as for the reasoning behind this, when we were having, through the interim and through working with the our good minerals chairman, and we were discussing the amendments to and bringing the bills that you saw through Senate File 144 and House Bill 111 that you're going to be hearing on general file here shortly, that have to, and then all the conversations that we've had about preference and the issues that surround that for our Wyoming contractors. And what we, in discussion with the Department of Employment on the enforcement of that. Now, the Department of Employment has told us that they only have, they have like six compliance officers, and they're focused on EEOC, wage and hour and residency, prevailing wage, preference complaints. And over the years, their primary focus has been on EEOC and wage and hour complaints. And then the compliance officer normally manages about 160 cases a year, and is only able to investigate residency questions when a complaint or question is filed regarding a contractor claiming local residency. So the division has been limited in their ability to investigate residency complaints due to the heavy caseloads. House Bill 111, residency, as I spoke of, and Senate File 114, construction project preferences are good, but would be limited in their effectiveness if the positions aren't funded. So these positions are necessary to effectively enforce existing law and the proposed changes under these bills. And when we were discussing it with the interim director coming in to Department of Employment, the idea was to just take a couple of the unfunded or unfilled positions. And, of course, you see in this budget bill that we swept all of those, so they no longer exist. So it was necessary to put this budget amendment in. So the $161,000 on the breakdown of it just supports two salaried positions for enforcement in the Department of Labor and the labor standards analysts. Their benefits, state travel, assigned vehicle and office furnishings and computer and telecommunications for two individuals supporting that. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Question or discussion in regard to this amendment? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I struggle with this partly because with respect to department, they have other employees. You know, you're talking about 320 employees, and they can't find out of the 320 employees how to enforce the labor laws with respect to out-of-state contractors, whether they're adhering to the statutes. You know, I have to personally say, you know, if they raise that to a level of importance to require their employees, they could do it. The governor could any time say, we want you to reorganize your staffing levels. We want you to attend to these issues. And furthermore, even if we are going to add the positions, I wonder whether two positions is the number is correct. I think there's a budget process. Come back next year, go through the budget process. But even at that, when we go through these procedures to say, look, here's an important monitoring function that needs to be done, and 320 people couldn't possibly do that work, you have to wonder whether that is simply a mechanism to get new employees or whether really they can't do this work because 320 folks can't get it done.
Other questions or discussion? Senator Hastert, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with respect to some of the comments, yes, they have 320 employees, and certainly, in the division that we're looking to add the individuals for labor standards, that department has always had a limited number of individuals. Could you reorganize? Is there extra employees? I submit that, we have Department of Employment has a good number of people, and they have workers' comp in there. That is a huge part of what Department of Employment does, the unemployment. And you look at all of what they have done, and, it just doesn't seem to me that, that we have, I don't think we're in the habit of funding extra employees that really aren't doing anything. I think our appropriations chairmans or appropriations committee over the years and this body has done an excellent job in maintaining the proper levels that we need to provide for services to the people of Wyoming without excess. My understanding is in the discussions that these are going to be two full-time positions. You fund one and you're going to cover part of the state. You fund two and we can cover the entire state. And it was, these are going to be full-time positions. These individuals are going to be out on the road. There's some 1,800 sites or contractors, and I'm not sure what the correct way to say that is, but I know that there's 1,800 different visits that these individuals will have to make. So, the individuals who take this will be, on the road quite a bit, pretty full-time. And I just, like I said, I think we've done a pretty good job of streamlining a lot of these divisions in the past, and I would ask for your support.
This does affect the budget, and I would ask then the reading clerk to call the roll in regard to second reading amendment number 26. Reading clerk, or the chief clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case? Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Von
Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 4 ayes, 26 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 26 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 1. I'd ask that the reading clerk read that in this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 1. Budget affected 39 Wildlife Natural Resource Trust.
Senator Burns, would you like to speak to this amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 1 and ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, we've been trying for years to try and get more money into the Wildlife Trust Fund or the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund. For years, but for the last few years, budgets have been tight. So what this amendment does is it puts $15 million into the corpus of the Wildlife Trust Fund. But instead of taking it from the general fund or the budget reserve account, it takes it from the Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund. Now, Mr. Chairman, I had distributed this rather Byzantine-looking chart. And I'm not going to explain everything in there, but there are a few figures you should see in there. On the upper right, you can see that just for this year, $19.5 million is going to come into the Tobacco Settlement Trust. Now, one of the things, and pardon my voice, I've got a cold. One of the things that this body did a few years ago was we stopped that money from actually flowing into the corpus of the Tobacco Trust Fund itself and put it into the income account. We took all the income, and that's what we're spending. And so if you follow this chart from that upper middle thing from income account, then you can see where it goes. And it goes to the Attorney General, Department of Corrections, Family Services, Department of Health, almost $30 million. And the other thing that we did was we, in addition to tobacco funds or to try and cease tobacco and get rid of tobacco use, we also put it into drug funds, which is actually a pretty good use. That's what the Department of Health and Corrections mostly does with the money. However, if you go to the bottom line, literally the bottom line, You see that $5,666,000? This may be the only program I know of in the state that actually has more money than it spends. That's surplus. That's extra money. That goes back into the corpus of the Tobacco Trust Fund, which you look at the top of the sheet now, has almost $66 million in it, with that additional income constantly coming in to the income fund. So what I simply did was take $15 million from that corpus of that Tobacco Trust Fund and put it into the Wildlife Trust Fund, where, frankly, we have more oversight over how it's spent, and I think better spent. Mr. President, I would welcome any questions and a Kleenex.
Okay. Senator Meyer, I believe you were up first.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I think this chart is going to be very helpful in explaining why we shouldn't proceed with this amendment. If you look at the $19,454,646, that's the income from this year. That income is continuing to go down because the cessation efforts across the country are working. And that was part of the reason for the Tobacco Settlement Fund, is that these funds that were derived from that would be used in tobacco cessation programs and different types of health programs. And that's the reason for these tobacco funds, is to be used in the area of health. Now, we basically have a structural deficit going forward. We have money today, but the income account of $53 million, we spend $48 million out of that. Well, let's fast forward to the next biennium. We know that the $19,454 is a decreasing number. But for ease, let's just say it's $40 million. You know, let's actually say it actually increases over the next biennium. Well, we're currently appropriating $48 million. So we have a structural deficit going forward of $8 million. So if we take money out of the corpus, that's going to short us in the interest income, and this $2.4 million will actually go down. So we'll have an even a bigger structural deficit going forward. So we're going to have to get into our general fund if we're going to go to the Department of Health, Family Services, Attorney General, and the Department of Corrections to fund the current ongoing programs. So, you know, the Wildlife Trust Fund is a very worthy fund. It has a lot of worthy goals. But these tobacco settlement dollars are supposed to be used in areas of health care and tobacco cessation. We've used them well. The country has used them well. The master settlement payments, payouts are going down. And we have a structural deficit going forward of about $8 million to $10 million. So, Mr. President, this is a bad amendment when it looks at tobacco settlement trust funds.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over the last several years, I've read about instances where the folks that fund this program are concerned about states that are misappropriating the funds from this Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund, and have actually gone after some of the states who have considered misappropriated the funds and have been attempting to have them pay them back. Now, my question is, I guess, should we be concerned of that happening with this, since you know, we're really not appropriating these funds to a program that you would consider under this Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund?
Senator Dennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I ask the sponsor of the amendment, how much money have we spent outside of the money that we generate from the Wildlife Trust Fund, I guess out of the general fund or any other fund, from the time it was put into law until now? And as far as the, you know, plants and wildlife make fresh air.
Are there other questions of the sponsor before he takes his final opportunity? Senator Schiffer.
In relation to part of the discussion on the Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund, there are no restrictions on what you can spend it on. I happen to be on the committee that when this was set up, and it's wide open. You can spend it on cessation, or you can spend it on you could actually spend it on plates for the governor's residence if you wanted to. It's absolutely wide open.
Other questions or comments before the sponsor stands? Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr.
President. Mr. President, the good senator from KC did mention one of the points I made, and as a matter of fact, it's my understanding from some of the research we did for this amendment was Wyoming's the only state that has spent it only on alcohol and drugs and tobacco cessation. Every other state in the nation. That's not to try and, that's frankly, that's just a factoid. That doesn't try and argue for the bill, for the amendment, rather. But I have no breach with the drug cessation. As a matter of fact, I believe that the intensive care unit, the intensive drug units at the Department of Corrections is funded with this money. That's great. I have a problem with a number of the tobacco cessation programs that we have in this state. And if those who remember the ding dong, the secondhand smoke is dead, and all the billboards you saw, and all the signs you can, all the paintings you can still see on the sides of the buildings down in Cheyenne. And one of the things I've had my interns working on for 2 days is trying to find out where that money's going, and who that money's going to, and what non-governmental organizations it's going to. I wish anybody else the best of luck. And that's one of the problems I have with this fund, and as have always had with this fund. I'm not going into the income of it. I'm going into the corpus of the trust and switching it from one statutory trust to the other statutory trust. And that is a program, the other one, knowing we know it's well run. We know the projects that it's been working on are good, and we know that any project over $200,000 has to be is subject to a vote on this floor. I think it's less money being better spent than the way it's being spent now. And so it is a policy decision on the part of this body, but I think it's a good one, and it's one I'm proud to bring.
Okay, I think we are ready for the question. This does have a monetary effect. Second reading amendment number one, Senate file one, I'd ask the reading clerk to call the roll, or the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer? Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote?
No.
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote?
That's right.
Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
That amendment has failed. Second reading amendment number one has failed. Next amendment for consideration is second reading amendment number two. Reading clerk would read that amendment in, please.
Senate file one, second reading amendment number two, budgets affected. 40, game and fish, aqua invasion species, aquatic.
Senator Burns, would you like to address the amendment, please?
Yes, Mr. President. I move Senate second reading amendment number two to Senate file number one and ask the body to vote aye again. Mr. President, this is the second of my only two amendments on the budget bill.
Question.
And we had this discussion, and I let my cohort to the left here have the last word last time. And I want to bring the body's attention to the information sheet that I had put on your desks, and that actually explains it better than I can, but I'd like to go over some of the aspects of why I brought this bill, brought this amendment. And the amendment basically adds just shy of $505,000 to the aquatic invasive species program. Mr. President, when we started this program last year, this was put on an emergency basis, and I think Game and Fish did an outstanding job of gearing up to do this. But they pulled a lot of their resources and personnel away from other jobs that they were already doing and they're already mandated to do. And if you look at the sheet that has the grid on the front, you can see that the money that we gave them they pretty much matched. So the program actually cost a little over $2 million. Now, doing an analysis of what the program is going to cost ongoing, they actually need four additional people, four full-time people. There are no full-time employees on this program right now. And they need some one-time spending, some vehicles to haul around the decontamination equipment. Mr. President, as I mentioned yesterday, the fact is this is going to be an ongoing program. It's a new program for a new problem. And this is not something that's going to go away. And in fact, the longer we can hold off these invasive species, the more money we're actually going to save. Because once we get infested, if we get infested, that's where it starts getting pricey. And if you look at the back, the bottom of the back page, there's some examples here. Florida found that $125,000 annually spent in prevention results in $8.5 million in benefits. The Metropolitan Water District in Lake Havasu, which is infested with the quagga mussel, costs $15 million annually. That's just for one water treatment plant. I've said it before that if we get infested with these critters all over the state, whoever the chairman of the Ag Committee is going to be, when they stand up with the omnibus water bill, a good 30 to 40% of it is going to be spent on mitigation from these little crustaceans. This is good money that I'm talking about putting in here. It's preventive money. But let's not cripple the game and fish just at the time that we're trying to prevent these creatures from getting in here. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, in addition, in the middle of the back page, it states how the money will be spent, and a lot of it will be for training of the 30 at-will employees that we'll have, the seasonal employees we'll have during the summer. But they're only on for 3 months, and we all know that more voting is done before Memorial Day and after Labor Day, and that's where the inspections would come in for them too. Mr. President, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Questions? Discussion? Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, nobody argues that this isn't a problem that we want to take great effort to make sure that we simply don't have to fund later remediation problems. But when you talk about the game and fish, remember the game and fish wanted to be a self-funded agency so that they collect their resources from hunting licenses and they run their budgets. They have a commission that runs their budget. We don't get to see it. We don't get to review it. You can see it. You can ask for it. But they run their own budget. And part of the waters of the state are for the folks that enjoy fishing, boating. All those licensing fees go to the game and fish, and this is part of their work. This is part of what they do. Now, over the course of the last few years, we've agreed and we've been generous to them when we've had extra resources. We've built rearing stations. We've helped build their brand new office building, and now we picked up some of the endangered species programs. And your present budget recommends $1.5 million, a little over that, annually for the aquatic invasive program for the game and fish to hire part-time employees, recognizing that maybe this is an extraordinary cost that they wouldn't have to put in their commission side of the budget. But it seems to us, and it is appropriate, that the game and fish side of the budget should fund their permanent positions, should be able to fund and take over the supervision. So this is an effort to increase the general funded obligation for general fund employees so that the commission side of the budget doesn't have to administer this program. They were able to do it last year, and sure, they had to move employees around. They had to make adjustments. And frankly, that's what we expect of all agencies. They were still able to accomplish their work last summer, and they should be able to do it in the future. They ought to be going to the parks and making sure that the parks are providing any auxiliary services that they can do. But they have a sizable commission side of the budget. And if they, you know, if the issue is the commission side of the budget is not sufficient to run their organization, then why don't they bring the entire budget to us and we'll start looking at the commission side of the budget and make our own assessment whether or not they have enough employees to run all their programs. I'd urge your defeat of the measure.
Senator Jennings.
I'd urge your run the measure. When Game and Fish started and they have to live under license fees and all that kind of stuff, they did a pretty good job. Look at they brought the antelope back. But what we've done with Game and Fish over the years is we've piled more studies onto them. And we call, you know, out in the field, we call them the bugs and bunnies studies. And you got to go in there and count something or evaluate this, or is this little mudfish going to survive if they put more water down the creek? And we've piled that onto them, and we really haven't made any accommodations for them for all this little stuff that we've told them to do. When it comes to aquatic invasive species, we can spend some money now and take the program that was pretty much an emergency program last year, and they did a good job. But they need some year-round planning, and they need some year-round attention to this, and they need to project, you know, which areas are going to be the bad areas next year, and where do we need to move our assets. And they need somebody that can coordinate all that and really be responsible for it. I think they did a good job on a short-term basis without enough money. But if we want to keep these things out of our waters, we're going to have to take that next step. And I think this amendment addresses that next step, and we can go forward with it and keep these little critters out of our water.
Other discussion. Go ahead, Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, in our committee, we had heard testimony from the director that said he talked about the effort last year and what they did to ramp up and the significant challenge and how they felt really good about their efforts and how they were able to change things in the course of a summer with just their product. But what he also told us was that he pulled people off current jobs, off current responsibilities, and he said we really stepped aside from our traditional and regular duties and responsibilities that we've been taking on in order to meet this short-term battle. Well, it's now more than a battle. He recognized that it's a war, and he's looking for help on this. The idea of prioritizing over the long term, I think it's a great idea, and whether they handle it internally or wherever they deal with that, or if we get involved, that's a bigger discussion. But in the short term, to not support this, I think, puts us some danger and jeopardy, either in this battle or letting their existing responsibilities go by the wayside. I hate to put them in a position without a more big picture conversation. I'd urge your support.
Other discussion, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to echo this little, and I would really like to point out this truly is an extraordinary situation. This is, I think, Game and Fish done a great job of coloring inside the lines on their budget. They've not come back on a steady basis. You don't see them in this stack of amendments every year for big type deals. This is something that's of extreme importance, not just to the Game and Fish on the lakes, but to our irrigation districts, to our town and water supplies. We spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars on water supplies. And if we lose our vigilance on this and it gets away, this might not be a bill for this amount. It might be a bill for a Medicaid type bill. And for that reason, I really encourage you to take a strong look at it, vote for it, and let's get the problem where it does not get here. Thank you.
Other discussion? Senator Esquibel.
Mr. President, I would echo the same concerns that good fellow senators have voiced in favor of this bill. You know, several years ago, I don't imagine that too many people had heard of aquatic invasive species. I know I certainly had not, but I came to hear about them. Them little critters can do enormous amount of damage. And I was thinking not so much of our lakes, but also our municipal water systems and things of that nature. So it's a new recent phenomenon, and I would urge you to vote in favor of this. Thank you.
Other discussion, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, the governor has made provisions for this particular program. It recommended approval of $610,000 in general funds and $450,000 in other funds. And if we go into the fiscal note there of House Bill 18, there's 29 seasonal AWACS and one 12-month AWAC field foreman and one FTE. The recommended approval of funding position number 345 and 29 AWACS that were authorized in House Bill 18. The governor did not authorize and recommend a denial of the $504,000 for the additional four FTEs. But there is one 12-month AWAC field foreman and one FTE. So this discussion was had, and the governor went along with what both bodies have determined in the past was reasonable and necessary for this program. So it's not like we're not funding this program. We're funding it at a level that the bodies have agreed on in House Bill 18. We're just not funding it at the wish list of the Game and Fish.
Other conversation? Senator Nicholas, your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, folks, what I want to do is respond to the notion that we have not been helping this agency, nor has this agency come back and asked for continued response. This year, they asked for $2.5 million just for 1 year of the biennium, and the governor's rec put in $2 million. The agency now upon this request, their biennial revisions will bring them up to $10 million, just general fund. This is just a general fund. It doesn't address the commission side of the budget. And the deal was always from the beginning, if you want to manage your own budgets, then you ought to provide your own services. Now, we have recognized that there are impacts that were discussed, and we funded those. We've got veterinary services of $3.4 million now in the general fund. We've got sage-grouse planting now of $1.8 million, wolf management $700,000, and other endangered species programs of $1.1 million. So we've done a significant amount of budget increases to accommodate this agency, which has a substantial, sizable commission budget, and we were entitled to run these or ask that their budgets not be reviewed by the legislature, and then they'd be on off budget, if you will. There are 29 positions being authorized under the new funding of under the governor's rec. Those positions were adequate, and they continue to be adequate. And if the notion is the agencies make a good case for four positions, believe me, every agency that's come to us has made an equally compelling argument. That's just the nature of the government. I urge that you reject the amendment. They have sufficient funds to run and positions to run the program.
Other discussion, questions? Senator Burns, you want another shot?
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you very much. All due respect, House Bill 18 dealt with quarantine of animals. It has nothing to do with aquatic invasive species at all. It has to do with the state vet. I believe the chairman of JAC misspoke earlier when he said that they had appropriated $1.5 million already. They've appropriated just under $1 million, and in fact, just over $1 million, and in fact, it's a little bit less than we appropriated last year. And one of the things we asked for last year was an additional $500,000 to state parks to get them to help with the inspections, as was suggested by the chairman of JAC. They rejected that. Now, as far as the Game and Fish and their budget, originally, for decades, they were self-funding. They were funded by license fees. But we're the ones that put additional responsibilities on them. And so as we've put additional responsibilities on them, we've given them the money to take care of these responsibilities. But we've only given them enough money to take care of those responsibilities. Now we've given them a new responsibility, which may actually end up being the most important. And I'm afraid that we're underfunding them. They have no FTE. That one FTE from HB 18 has nothing to do with aquatic invasive species. We need people who can do the planning, as the good senator from Natrona County said.
We need them to do the planning. We need them to do the inspections outside of the 3 months. These seasonal employees just cannot do it on their own, and we are short funding this agency for what could be a very important job, especially if they fail. And if we get aquatic invasive species in one of our watersheds, that's just the start, because we've got four major watersheds that have their headwaters in this state. And I mentioned the cost to those states that are already infested. That doesn't even count the litigation we might get from the states downstream from us. I don't think what they're asking for is extravagant at all. I think it's necessary.
Question being called. Second reading amendment number two does affect the budget, and I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Second reading amendment number two has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is amendment number three. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that in.
Senate file one, second reading amendment number three. Budgets affected, 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number three to Senate file one. Mr. President, what this amendment does, it appropriates funds to YDOT to be expended to provide a redesign and engineering for 18 miles of county road that over the years have become a main arterial route between the southwest part of our state to the central part of Wyoming. The road originally was designed as a rural, county, and light industrial road and not for continuous truck and vehicular traffic as we've experienced on this road over the last decade. It has now become a main cutoff route that probably cuts off about 75 miles of driving when you're driving from the when you're driving to places from the southwest, like places like Lander, Riverton, Casper, Thermopolis, etc. The road benefits, as you can see, a large segment of our population. The ultimate goal for this road is to have it brought up to state standards and to transfer it to YDOT and put into the state highway system. And then in return, the two counties that are involved here will take on the ownership of equal miles of road, of state highways that already exist out there, and the counties then will maintain those roads. With that, Mr. President, explains the amendment. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Jennings, do you want to speak to this, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask as much as I hate to ask him this question, but ask my colleague how this does not violate Article 3, Section 27, special laws and laws prohibited.
Other questions to the sponsor? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, on and against the amendment, with respect to the YDOT, how they spend monies and how they take new buildings or new roads into their system, that's an off-budget issue. There's a process, though, that needs to be followed for that, and that needs to go through whatever that process is, as is true for all the roads in the state. If the county determines that this is their highest priority, they have block grants from the county that we're putting through that they can utilize their block grants for this purpose, if it's that important. If it's not that important, frankly, then it shouldn't be funded with the state general fund. And there are, to the extent that it is an industrial road, that there's an industrial road program that we fund through YDOT for the these private entities to go out and help shoulder some of the industrial road costs. So there are programs out there for these types of roads. We have county funds if it's a high priority. And if it's a state road, if it, the idea is to be made a state road, it goes through the process. I'd urge you to defeat the measure.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the sponsor, you mentioned at the end about the giving some, taking over, the counties taking over some other roads. I don't read that in here. Is that an agreement that's written somewhere else? If we're going to do this and truly trade off roads with the counties, I think that's a much longer process and should be brought forward by the department with the counties, with the sponsor. Just taking over a road and adding it to our state highway system is could be quite a little burden.
Senator Schiffer.
For the sponsor, as I recall, 5 years ago in the budget, we had a special appropriation for this exact road. It diverted, it was an earmark going to the county to bring this road under the county program. Would the sponsor please refresh my memory both to the amount and what the county did with that money? Because I know we mailed him a check.
Other questions or comments, Senator Coe?
Question also, I think there's a Safe Route Systems Road Program or something of that nature that YDOT funds back into counties and cities. And have they ever tried to apply for any of these monies for this specific road you're talking about here?
Other questions before the sponsor takes his final shot? Seeing none, Senator Cooper, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, to answer the first question, if I got them all down here, right, I don't think that this would violate the Constitution as far as this amendment is concerned. For one thing is, and maybe not the important thing is, but we do several amendments similar to this along the budget. But the main reason I would suggest that it isn't because this actually serves a very large population of the state, and it's not just geared to just a couple of communities. It as I mentioned in my introduction, it does provide service for a good segment of the population. 2 to 3 million dollars. Somebody else had a question on the 2 to 3. One of the things on the industrial road program is the entire state, if I remember right, the entire state available funds for the industrial program, as I think is only around, it was 2, and I think we may have moved it up to 3 million for the whole state. So this would take practically the whole amount of that. None of the other counties then would be able to even receive any of those funds if that was used for this road. The question about the trading the road for YDOT, well, the way that works is if a counties do this from time to time, they actually do trade a state segment of a state road for a county road and vice versa. But the way that works is, on the state's behalf, you have to bring that road up to their standards before any of those deals can be cut. So the reason that wasn't mentioned in here, because you can't really begin to negotiate a situation like that until that road is brought up to that standard. But that was the ultimately what they were working towards. As far as getting getting a check for any kind of money for this road, the only money that I can recall that was ever received for this to do any kind of work on this road is when the road was turned from a two-track into a paved industrial rural road, and that was way back in the about mid-1980s. And what that was the IRP fund, or the Industrial Road Fund, and the way that worked is the county put up half the money to build the road, and the commercial entity that was on a part of this road actually paid for the match for the county for the grant for that road. And that's the only money I ever recall that we ever got for this road, unless there was a segment, maybe in the other county that I'm not aware of, but that's on the one segment, I'm sure of that. As far as the safe road system goes, I'm not aware of that program and not sure whether they've applied for that or even how much funding that would be in that. But I'd be a little leery or concerned about maybe being even able to submit a funding request for that because this road exists now and what they're trying to do, and it's a safe road, although it could become quickly unsafe road is because of the massive amount of traffic on it now. But this road would require is mainly for a redesign of the road, not necessarily because of the safety issues, but just because of the volume of traffic that's on that road. And, Mr. President, I hope I've answered the question.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. There is a monetary effect in regard to third reading or second reading amendment number 3. I'd ask the chief clerk to call a roll on this.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Jennings, no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon, Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Christensen, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 5 ayes, 25 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 3 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 4. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 4, budget affected 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Cole?
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 1, ask for favorable consideration. Under the Department of Transportation narrative on page 23, the Aeronautics Commission shall examine the effectiveness of investments of general fund monies in securing air service. This talks about the Air Service Enhancement Program and how they'll report back to the Joint Appropriations and the Joint Transportation. This just inserts the Select Committee on Air Transportation. And in fact, is an active committee in the interim that does look at these same issues, and we like to have the report come to us as well. That's all the amendment does.
Questions or discussion? There is no monetary effect with this amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 4 has passed the Senate. We are now ready for second reading amendment number 14. I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 14, budget affected, 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Perkins, would you like to speak to this?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move second reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1 and ask for favorable consideration. What we're doing here is in the budget there's $6 million set aside for quiet zones. In a certain part of the state, in the eastern part of the state in particular. Although, in fairness to the amendment, it covers various communities and counties where the zone, where these railroads run through towns. Mr. President, this bill has come this appropriation has come in bill form in the last number of years. Every year we've voted this down. This one we didn't take it all the way out. Particular amendment it cuts it by half. I was over in that neck of the woods for a interim committee meeting, and we were in a hotel near the railroad track. And I have to admit that I slept like a baby the night. I didn't hear any trains go by at night. But the next day, when we had the doors open in our committee room, it was quite warm. and the trains went by. We did have to stop our committee meeting for about 45 seconds, let the trains go by now and then. We also had 15 other fly swatters, so we were killing flies at the same time, but that's another story. But anyway, this has been here. I mean, ultimately, this is a problem that's out there. This is in areas where there's impact. There are certain counties that are out there have taken care of these various things by themselves. There's money for counties. There's money for improvements. They can go slipboard. There'll be property enhancements that come from the development of the Niobrara Shale play. And with that, I ask for your favorable consideration on decreasing the budget by $3 million for railroad quiet zones. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, part of my role is not only to fight off amendments to the budget, but to defend the budget. I do want you to understand some of the dynamics about the Appropriations Committee. I was a no vote on this item. And the vote, we're struggling, the committee, whether or not to have majority of both houses required for every amendment or majority of both houses. The reason why it's complicated is because the House has 7 members on their side and there's 5 on the Senate. Typically, it doesn't create a problem, but you run into instances such as this one where the House has a position largely because the Speaker of the House has been pushing this out. Having said this, it's also true that when folks in our on either side rise to the position of leadership, whether it be the President of the Senate or the Speaker of the House, they bring with them local agendas, and there is nothing wrong with that. And in this sense, this is an item that the Speaker of the House has championed for a long time.
Yeah. Senator Nicholas, I might caution you in regard to remarks about the other House. So.
I do, and I'm not talking about the voting of the House, and I will caution myself, too, and I won't do that any longer. But with respect to that, you know,
and I guess I didn't have to caution myself. Mr. Speaker, having said that, having not said that on the record, well, actually, we used to, when Senator Bebow was over there, we used to say Mr. Squeaker. But the... in the good old days, but Mr. President, truth is that a lot of the resources that come to our coffers come from coal, and there are impacts caused by shipping all this coal that is being felt by a few communities. We actually benefit largely by the huge exports of coal out of the state. We're spending the money, and we join it. We enjoy the money. There are a few communities along the rail lines that have the burden, and it turns out that a lot of these communities have minimal resources. They don't have oil and gas in their communities. They don't have a lot of extractives, and the counties themselves have low populations. So it's difficult for them to reach in to address the impacts. What we're doing is creating new rail closing systems or road closing systems so that when the trains go through town, they don't have to sound their horns. And I think over time we have to recognize that it's a small amount to carve out $6 million in this biennium. There will be continuing needs to address this. But if we're all going to share in the coal's wealth, why should some counties have greater impact and have to listen to these when we can solve the problem? And the impacts are not caused by the minerals extracted in Goshen County or Niobrara County. They're caused by minerals being extracted in Campbell County. They get local resources. We're benefiting greatly, and these counties are hitting the impacts. So it is fair and appropriate, I think, at this time. The measure's been back repeatedly. I think over time we have to recognize that these impacts belong to the state, and we ought to help them address them. And this is a matching program, by the way.
Other comments? Hearing none, Senator Perkins, would you like to speak again? Final time.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. President? Mr. President, and it's interesting because it seems to me that the last several times this bill's been up that the good chairman of appropriations was talking about the other side. But anyway, that being said, the railroads do have a significant amount of employment. There's employment along those lines. There's property taxes that are paid. There are benefits that come from having railroads through your community, including of which those are a few. In deference to leadership, we didn't take it all out. We just dropped it by half and asked for your favorable consideration.
I'd ask the chief clerk to call a roll. This does constitute a change in the monetary part of the budget. So, regard to second reading amendment number 14, please call a roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Second reading amendment number 14 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 5. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that amendment in at this time.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 5. Budgets affected. 48, Department of Health.
Senator Landon, I believe that's your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1. And fellow senators, I bring this amendment knowing full well what you will all face today and have already faced with regard to our budget. And I also bring the amendment knowing what you will face from the back of the room. I also want you to know that this amendment I've had in mind for quite some time. Our former president asked me after the last session if I would serve on your behalf on the Select Committee on Developmental Disabilities. And I did that. And I felt like it was appropriate today that we have a visit with regard to this budget amendment. And my challenge today is to try to figure out how to consolidate a year's worth of work on that select committee down into a brief visit today to help paint a proper picture of a community-based provider network out there for our developmentally disabled. And to be honest, that's quite a challenge, but I'm gonna give it a try. For those of you who have not been in this chamber for long, just know briefly that over the past 4 or 5 years, the three different waiver programs underneath the Department of Health that assist our developmentally disabled have been in a constant state of flux. And by the way, if you'd like to follow along with some of these thoughts, I have provided you with a handout. So it is in your box, and you're welcome to follow along on some of these points. I won't reiterate all of them. The Management Council asked that our Select Committee search for a solution to the funding issues that have plagued that provider system. And you'll remember that I believe Senate File 29, if I get the number right, has already passed this chamber. That was to address a unit of funding issue that existed 4 years ago because of the adoption of a new funding system for that provider network. There were some glitches in it, to be honest, and that particular amount of money is reflected in a bill that's over on the other side now. We've already passed that bill. That will correct that situation. Here's what we found during the interim, ladies and gentlemen. We have our most needy and our most fragile population out there being served by a very fragile system. And that has been brought about by the previous and aforestated 4% difficulty that we ran into on reimbursement of units, but it was also brought about by that situation in 2009, where we intended as a legislature to provide a cost of living adjustment to those providers. We didn't do so because of the impending downturn in the economy and concerns over revenue. So that was placed on hold. And meanwhile, as we all know, the governor stepped up, did what he needed to do and what we wanted him to do, and cut the budgets 10%. Providers out there in this particular system, I want to draw some attention to the fact that this is different than your normal Title 19. These providers are almost completely reliant on Medicare and Medicaid clients. And so there isn't any cost shifting that can be done. And so that 10% cut was particularly difficult on that provider network out there. And so now we have margins that are razor thin. We had testimony from 8 different providers, from Fremont County to Sheridan County to the center of the state to the southeast corner. And each and every one of those providers had the same message for us. Their cash reserves are gone, and one provider just this past fall had to borrow money in November just to meet payroll.
30 seconds.
Wages have been cut. Employees out there have been cut as much as $1 per hour. The facility in my neck of the woods has cut 6 different positions. All of this at a time when gas, heat, groceries, cost of services has gone through the roof. The select committee took a reserved approach, but I felt like it was important that we come down and represent to you
that is your
what
time.
We found. Thank you very much. I would appreciate your...
Senator Driscoll, do you have something, please?
I'd like to speak in favor behind it.
I think this is, once again, I'm not in favor of spending money on most stuff. These guys are struggling to provide services to us, and they really have. They've cut. I know people that work in them. They don't pay them much. They donate huge amounts of their time. They care a lot. And the people they're serving are people, as they close down these places that take care of them, it puts impacts on other areas of our government that's phenomenal. And this is a pretty paltry sum when you look at what the impacts are as these people, because they are. The homes are closing down. The places are closing down. We're putting the people back in, and they provide huge impacts in other areas of our system. And, you know, for a 4%, it's quite a little bit of money, but for a 4%, the returns to the state are really multiplied long-term what we get back out of them compared to the impacts that get put back on us. I encourage you to look really hard at this. This is, when you look at the money we're spending in a lot of other areas, this is money well spent.
Other? Senator Rothfuss?
On and for this amendment as well, Mr. President, we have a substantial presence in my home county that has been affected by the cuts, the previous cuts, and they're certainly a hardship. But they've struggled through, they've maintained a high level of performance, but they've done it by cutting salaries, cutting programs, and really operating on a shoestring budget, and yet they've persevered and they've managed. But this is certainly affecting the lives of people. This is a direct cut. A lot of times we can make cuts to budgets, and I realize that the overall budget that we're probably going to see when we look at the aggregate figures for the Department of Health are huge, and so people can just say, Mr. President, that we can take money from somewhere else or that this cut isn't going to be felt. But I think all of us that have interacted with the facilities that have been cut in recent years through these particular cuts realize that we've cut real-life programs and real-life services, and that this was a cut that was felt more than many of the other ones. And I believe that this 4% return is certainly a good choice right now while we can afford it. And I would certainly discourage future cuts in this area. This is one that the people certainly feel, Mr. President.
Senator, thank you. Senator Bernard.
Having come from Evanston, Wyoming, where the state hospital is, a lot of these patients go there, and then when they're released, they stay at Evanston. And we have a real high proportion of these type of people in our city. Quite frankly, it's a great economic development to us because they support our city businesses. I don't know, in all these years, I haven't seen one incident that has caused any police thing. I would vote and ask you to support this bill. These people really need your help.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I guess reluctantly, I rise against this amendment, Mr. President. And I do look at it as far as the aggregate. We're going to have some tough choices to make in Medicaid. And this goes into Medicaid, into the waiver program. And this figure that's roughly $2.25 million is going to turn into roughly $5 million in the next biennium. And add your federal funds in there, it'll be a $10 million program. Mr. President, we're going to have to ask a lot of people to make tough choices. These folks have already made some tough choices. They made some management decisions. They've been able to work through those tough choices and provide the services that have been necessary in our communities. And our hats could go off to them because they've done a real good job at it. And it's a hard thing, I think, to stand on the Senate floor and say that this is something you should vote against, because all of our hearts go out for these folks. It definitely does. But at some point in time, Mr. President, we're going to have to make the tough choices on this floor. And this is one of them. And I urge you to reject this amendment.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I had a handout today that is number one, for Senate file number one. It talks about it shows you the general fund contribution to the budgets. There's a less amount profiled this year in the 11 recommended change with the federal funds that not all those dollars, I believe, are profiled, but what we did ask the staff to do is just look at the profile dollars for the DD programs. And what you can see is that notwithstanding that there was a 10% cut, this program has received more funding every year. We did adopt the select committee's findings and the amount that was recommended by our interim select committee, and those fundings, and looking for the dollar amount, but my recollection was about between $1.5 and $1.9 million. Those amounts provided in the second year will be biennialized. While we had 10% cuts to these agencies or to this group of constituents, we've already given them back 6%. No one else got it back. I could tell you in my community the wages they're paying to some of their employees are some of the best in the town if you go look at their wage amounts. Certainly all agencies that are receiving money would like to have their budget sustained. But if you look at this, these agencies have been well represented. The dollars continue to grow. There is money in this budget that will biennialize already. And it's not to say that if you wouldn't give them more money, they wouldn't utilize it. But they've been treated fairly under the budget. They're continuing to provide their services out there. They're having to, they should have to struggle with their budgets like everyone else. There's no amount of money that you could not give to these folks that they wouldn't appreciate. But they're taking tax dollars, and they have to exercise restraint. And at this point, they're having we're not making them feel the pain of the impacts that all other agencies did. I'd urge that you defeat the measure and stick with the recommendations from the select interim committee that was adopted by the JAC.
Had a conversation, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, rising on and for the amendment. This is a special case of the general problem we have with underfunding of our Medicaid providers. And in this case, this is probably the worst area where the problems are because they don't have anybody to cost shift to. They're almost entirely dependent on Medicaid. And this is an area that has been growing, Mr. President. There's more people that need these services, and that's because medical science has improved. And a lot of these people that have these sometimes fairly severe developmental disabilities in an earlier era simply would not have survived. But the docs are getting better, our health care is getting better, and we're able to save these people as infants. And now they're becoming adults, and they need us. They need us desperately. And there, Mr. President, there's plenty of problems in Medicaid. The traditional Medicaid program is suffering big time for overutilization. We need to have some mechanisms to control that. The feds restrict us. That's not the problem here. These are people that really need the services. These are providers that are almost entirely dependent on us. There's some other providers that we have to do something about that are heavily dependent on us, and we've got other bills to deal with that. But this is the time and the place to deal with this particular problem. We've already lost one of these providers. Now, I had a local mismanagement issue, and typically the first one that goes does. But we're going to see more and more trouble providing the needed services if we don't do something like this amendment calls for. I urge its adoption.
Other discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, Mr. President.
It's all right.
You know, in this fast-paced world, it's changed. And when we think what happened years ago, and I think the family system took care of these responsibilities and the opportunities were there, that as society's changed, it's created a gap. And when I think about the people with these kind of challenges, if you go back to that idea of a fast-paced world where everybody's on their feet moving all the time, it doesn't necessarily fit very well with the challenges that these folks face. And I'd encourage your support of this, and we are our brother's keepers.
Senator Rothfuss, I believe, and then we'll go to back of the room.
Mr. President, I think if it takes withdrawing $3 million more dollars from quiet railroads to pass this amendment, we should seriously consider it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nicholas, I believe this is your second time in this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'll just remind folks, a year ago, we came and we granted general funds of $5.6 million, which leveraged $4 million for a total of $9.7 million. JAC has recommended another $1.6 million, which will be biennialized to $3.2 million, which will leverage more federal money. This is not an agency that we've ignored, and this agency has received monies every year and has been well represented by its constituents, and I urge you to... And it's, incidentally, as I pointed out, the recommendation that we followed was based upon our interim select committee. I urge you to support the amendment. Vote against it.
Is there any other?
Losing my urge.
Senator Landon, would you like to take your final turn?
Thank you. I want to thank the senator back in the room for the support. And no, I greatly appreciate all of the good comments from my colleagues. Real quickly, a few points, because I know the hour grows. This does not address the 339 adults on our developmentally disabled waiver list, on our DD waiver list. This will, however, correct the system out there, turn it back in a healthy and adequately funded position so that we can begin to address that 330 on the list. That is a conversation for a later date. Remember that the figure shown in the information provided to you by the good chairman reflects legislation currently in the pipeline, and that's a $1.3 million figure. This 4% would return the provider network to 2007 levels, because last session we were able to come up with 6%. This would be the 4% to get them back to 2007 levels. Wages out there are $8 to $9 an hour versus our state institutions, which are $13 to $15 an hour. So they're not very good paying jobs, but this would help. They have felt the pain out there, believe me. And that's the message that I bring to you from your select committee, which not only recommended Senate File 29, but we recommend this one. I would appreciate your support on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
There's a question. I'd ask the Chief Clerk to call a roll in regard to second reading amendment number 5.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 5 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you like some time here?
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Thank you. Are there any announcements? Senator Hines.
Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet in approximately 15 minutes up in room S16 to take up House Bill 147, Engrossed, Excise Tax Vendors Compensation, and House Bill 259, Ethanol Producers Tax Credit.
Other announcements? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1:15 p.m. in room S18. To discuss House Bill 144 and Gross School District Bonds.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1 Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning in 8 a.m. I was thinking it was Friday already. Man, it's Wednesday, February the 16th at 8 a.m. Room S1 to take up the following bills. House Joint Resolution 1, District Court Commissioner's Authority. House Bill 21, Battery Against a Family Member. House Bill 107, Municipal Court Jury Trials. House Bill 256, Arming Safe Homes Act 2.
Other announcements? Seeing none, you heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We are at recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.